Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 21, reading the first verse. "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. Lord, I pray for my listeners that you would help them in everything that they struggle with, everything that they're involved in. Whatever their hand is set to do, Lord, bless them. Lord, speak to them. Lord, minister to them. If they're sick in body, please, by your mercy, place your hand upon them and heal them. If they don't know what to do, Lord, lead them by your precious Holy Spirit. Comfort them. Be with them, Lord. And for the message today, please help me to preach it. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Now, I apologize for my voice today. I'm a little bit congested, and I know that I don't sound the best that I could. If you were listening last week, you heard me talk about Old Paths Tabernacle, which is the outreach or extension of the radio ministry. I'd ask that you'd stand with me in prayer. It's my desire that believers have a place to worship on Sunday night, where they can sing the praises of God and hear the Word of God preached in faith. I've got a link on my website to oldpathstabernacle.org, and if you get a chance, please take a look at it. And especially, take a look at the faith declaration, which I have linked. As I said, we're still looking for a place to meet, but I want to take this time to invite you to the services. And it's my prayer that I can provide something that will edify the body of Christ. And once again, thank you very much for your prayer and support. Now, we've been studying in the book of Exodus, and our study is just about over. Chapter 21, 22, and 23, God takes his time to give judgments or laws or statutes or what have you. In chapter 24, we see Moses and the elders going back up the mountain, and they see a vision of God. Chapter 25 to chapter 40, we read about God's instructions to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, the tabernacle of Moses. This, to me, is a very special topic. It's very precious to me, and I believe important to the Christian. Probably next week we'll finish up with chapter 24, and we'll go right on into chapter 25 to the end of the book. The study won't really change, but I want to take the topic of the tabernacle and classify it as its own topic. So the study in Exodus probably next week will finish. And then the week after that, we'll begin studying the tabernacle of Moses. "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them." That's the opening verse of chapter 21. Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All scripture is profitable to the Christian, for reproof, rebuke, etc. The Word of God is life to those that listen and heed. It's living water to the soul. It's the bread of life. Our sustenance should come from the Word of God. This is God's Word to man. Every word in the Bible is from the Lord. It's inspired from heaven. and it will help us. Some of the things that we read, we don't agree with, and I must confess, many of the things I read, I don't understand. But I believe them, because this is the Word of God. It is from God, God knows best, and God loves me, and God is here to help me. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. God is speaking here about slavery. And some would say that slavery has no place being mentioned in the Bible. Some would say that it's immoral or unjust or horrible. But again, this is the Word of God, and it's profitable, and it gives us life if we'll apply it to our heart. But even in slavery, we see the hand of God, the care of God, the protection of God, and the loving kindness of God. First, it says, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, a Hebrew slave. He's speaking to Hebrews, and he's talking about Hebrew slaves. There is one oblique reference in this chapter that talks about non-Hebrew slaves and the slaves that exist in other countries. But God is addressing his people, and he's telling his people God's judgment regarding slaves. God cares for poor people. And in this economy that we're studying, the Jewish economy, there were times that Jews simply didn't have enough money to live. And God made a provision that they could sell themselves to someone else for a period of 6 years as a way to make ends meet, as a way to survive. And many will think that slavery is horrible, but God's judgments here regarding slavery are really showing the character of God and his care for his people. A man could sell himself and his labors to someone that had means, to a landowner perhaps, or to a blacksmith or something, and he could work for his food, his lodging, what have you. But the master, the one that bought the Hebrew slave, was required to care for that slave, to watch after him, to treat him well, to take care of him. And furthermore, it says that he could own his slave for 6 years, but on the seventh year, he had to let his servant go. He had to let him go free. Because when you get down to it, God's people are free. This was an economic thing. This was a way that God prepared to deal with hardship and lack. But God cares even for the slave and made a provision in his law that the slave would go free. As we continue to study from the Pentateuch, from the five books of the law, there's a concept that you'll find called the Year of Jubilee. All debts are forgiven, all slaves go free. If a person owned a piece of land, that land belonged to that family. A Jew could sell his land to someone from another tribe, but at the end of 49 years, on the 50th year, the Year of Jubilee, that land reverted back to that person or to that tribe. And again, this shows God's care for his people. But in verse 5, it says, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him for ever. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him for ever. It's in God's law that the slave should go free. That's the natural thing that a person would want to do. He would want to go free. But it says, if the servant plainly say, I love my master, I will not go out free. God makes a provision in his law that the servant would be kept forever. And again, the natural thing for that servant to do would be to go free. But out of love, the servant chooses to stay with the master. You say, why would he want to do this? Why wouldn't he want to go free? I understand that he loves his wife and children that the master gave him. But he says he loves his master. Why would a servant, why would a slave love his master? Throughout the Old and New Testaments, it says that masters should be kind to the servants, and that the servant should respect and obey the master. This was a business transaction, slavery. But still, there was respect between both parties. But this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Some of you may remember that Paul often referred to himself as a bond servant. And what we just read, that the servant loves his master and says, I don't want to go free. The judges would say, okay, that's fine, we agree. Then the master would take the servant to the door jamb and place his ear up against the jamb and take an awl, a sharp instrument, and shove it through his ear and make a hole through the servant's ear. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Remember on the road to Damascus, Jesus revealed himself to Paul and showed him the things that he must suffer for the Lord. Remember, I preached extensively that suffering is a part of the gospel. We're to choose the way of suffering. We're to willingly take up our cross and follow after Christ. As the old hymn says, let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. May all self be slain, my friend, see only thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are that servant. We are the ones that have a sin debt. And we surrender our lives to the Lord. We become his servants. We're saved. We're born again. Our sins are washed away. But still the Spirit calls. Still the Master woos and draws us. And Paul said, Lord, I want to serve you with all of my heart. I don't want to hold anything back. I love you. Lord Jesus, put my ear up against the door jamb. Mark me for life. Run the awl through my ear that all will know that I love you and I don't want to go out free. You see, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of the heart that says, Lord, I want to run after you. I want to follow hard after thee. I don't know about you, but to me, this is a wonderful passage. I first heard this message. I first heard about the bond servant and the servant not wanting to go free. I guess maybe a year or two after I was a Christian. And the Lord began to move upon my heart and say, surrender to me. Now, I was a Christian. I had said yes to the Lord. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But still the Spirit drew me. I knew, when I heard that message preached, that that's what God wanted me to do, in my heart, to surrender fully to Him. I knew it. I knew that He had spoken to me. But I resisted, and I resisted. For 3 or 4 years, I resisted. And I remember probably one Sunday morning, I was down at the altar, and God had been dealing with me about surrender, like I said, these 3 or 4 years. And kneeling there at the altar, I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it." And probably, literally, I grabbed my earlobe and kind of held it up to the Lord and said, "Okay, Lord, I'll surrender. I'll do whatever you want me to do. My life is no longer mine. My desires, who cares? I want your desires. I'll go where you want me to go, preach what you want me to preach, talk to who you want me to talk to. Lord, I surrender myself. I'm no longer mine. I want to do what you want me to do." It's one thing to be a Christian, and believe me, that's a wonderful thing. That's a glorious thing if we're a Christian. Thank God that we can be Christians. Thank God our sins are washed away. But God continues to call us to sacrifice. God continues to call us to surrender our hearts to Him. When Abraham sacrificed Isaac, of course God stopped him from doing so. But God said to Abraham, "Now I know that you trust me. Now I know that you trust me." When Jacob wrestled with that angel, he admitted that he was a deceiver, because his name Jacob meant deceiver, and he admitted his name. But he was changed. God changed him. I could give many examples of believers that had yet another experience with the Lord, a deeper experience with the Lord. Remember, Christ said we should deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. But in these three chapters, 21, 22, and 23, God gives commandments, or judgments or statutes. For instance, in verse 12, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death." Verse 24, "Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe." God's judgments are intended to help man. You can say that you're better than me, or I can say that I'm better than the next guy. But in relation to God, we're all on the same level. We should not think of ourselves any more highly than we ought to think. And these judgments show God's care and concern for His people. Chapter 22, verse 1. "If a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep." Again, we see the care of God. We see justice, and we see mercy. But these chapters also address other topics. Chapter 22, verse 18, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." And that word "suffer" means allow. In other words, thou shalt not allow a witch to live. In the Old Testament, in Jewish Israel, witches were not allowed to live. Now, of course, that doesn't apply to us today. But the principle is the same. As you're listening to this, it's October. The last day of this month we know is Halloween. And a Christian has no business having anything to do with Halloween. And I know some of you just got mad at me, and that's fine. You can get as mad at me as you like. But the Bible is clear that witchcraft is an abomination. Witchcraft is evil, it is against God, it is against His word, and His people have no business having anything to do with Halloween. Here in South Louisiana, long about March or so, we have another holiday, Mardi Gras. It says in verse 20, two verses down, "He that sacrificeth to any god, save the Lord God only, he shall utterly be destroyed." Again, just as in Halloween, Christians have no business having anything to do with Mardi Gras. It's a pagan holiday. Every pagan god that you read about in the Old Testament, there's a float going down Canal Street or whatever, with the name of that god on that float. The floats are named after pagan deities. The crews themselves are named after pagan gods. And God does not want his people to have anything to do with other gods. In chapter 23, verse 13, "In all these things I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. If you will surrender your heart, you'll take the word of God as it stands, and accept it, and believe it, and obey it, and don't have anything to do with pagan holidays."
I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people, it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they were left behind. I'll tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Listen. They tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. You don't want this to happen to you. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but fire the next time. Listen, Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God's got the key. You can't get in. If something don't happen to the hearts of men, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you, it's gonna rain, Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Noah told the people in plenty of time, but they were too sinful and they were too blind. Tried to pray, but that prayer was too late. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. It won't be water, but by the next time. Won't be
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.